When one has an experience or has had a bad experience, especially, the sense is that someone has been rude to you. And how we ascertain that or sense that rudeness is in the manner in which that person has spoken to us. So how the customer is approached sets the scene for a successful or an unsuccessful outcome. So the voice obviously plays a huge role in this. Do you sound friendly? Do you sound kind? Do you sound concerned? Or do you sound rude or aggressive? So that is really where the voice is very vital in shaping the customer's experience.
That's Marianthi Dickey, the founder of VoiceWorks, speaking to me about the role of voice in customer experience. I'm sometimes invited to give lectures about customer experience or to facilitate workshops for organizations that are looking to improve their customer centricity. I usually kick things off by defining customer experience, which I like to think of as all the ways in which a consumer interfaces with a brand. This can include things like communication with employees, website interface, in-store environment, products, and pricing, among many other factors. As you can tell, this definition includes so much more than just customer service. Resistance to accepting customer experience as a multifaceted ecosystem of brand interactions can stem from the fact that this means acknowledging CX as a big, broad thing that isn't always easy to manage. I understand how this can be scary for business leaders, but how do we eat the elephant? One bite at a time. And the key to delivering great experiences is understanding the components that make them up. Enter the voice. When you interact with someone face-to-face, 80% of the communication is nonverbal. But what happens when you take away the in-person aspect? In today's world, so many of our interactions happen remotely. Retail was an early adopter of these kinds of experiences through mail order and then e-commerce, and now many of us have our primary interactions with banks and insurers over the phone. Even medical consultations are moving into remote formats. Think about your own experience as a consumer. How many contact centers have you called over the last month or 2 months? Probably a lot. All of these changes mean that verbal interactions are playing a more important role in shaping consumers' relationships with brands, and we need to understand how the voice and verbal communication influence those experiences. In late 2017, I had the opportunity to interview Marianthi. Marianthi is an expert in the voice. She has a Bachelor's of Arts degree in Speech and Drama and Psychology from Rhodes University and a Speech and Drama Teacher's Diploma from Trinity College London. She's passionate about changing the way we sound by teaching people to use their most valuable communication tool, their voice. While she's not a traditional customer experience specialist, her work contributes to an organization's ability to deliver on brand promise. And as business leaders heighten their focus on customer experience, she's helped many brands enable their teams to improve the verbal communication aspect of the customer journey. I met Marianthi on site at her office and voice training studio. We discussed practical tips and solutions that CX leaders or managers of frontline teams can utilize to help improve experiences. The day that we met was a quintessential Cape Town afternoon, and the prevailing southeasterly wind, locally referred to as the Cape Doctor, was really pumping. During our conversation, you can occasionally hear the wind in the background. One of the things that I enjoy about recording interviews in the field is that I can bring you, my listener, along with me into the full interview experience. I suppose it's an example of how there's much more to it than just the words that we say.
In what context would the voice potentially be something that could seal the deal and make an experience really outstanding, or on the other hand, be something that really offends a customer and erodes their relationship with a brand? Well, exactly what you're saying. If you are approached by somebody who is sullen, sounds rude, or is mumbling, or sounds aggressive, it's going to erode the customer experience. Whereas if somebody approaches you, even if you have a complaint and a problem, but if they approach you in an open, friendly, confident manner, and that manner is judged by how you sound, then the customer experience will be good. Because people judge us by the way we look when they meet us face to face. So they form an opinion, and I'm not talking about what you're wearing, but really that general appearance. Is she or he friendly, open, or we judge them as to being aggressive? Are they frowning? Are they smiling? And then when they open their mouths to speak, that impression is either dashed or it's enhanced. So we really do form an opinion about somebody by the way they sound.
Okay.
Open your mouth. Yes, she's friendly, or gosh, she's dreadful. And what are the specific nuances of the voice that are cues that indicate to somebody that they're friendly and nice or that they're cantankerous? What are those nuances?
Well, there are different ways that we judge a voice, or we assess a voice, should I say, and that's really based on whether we're speaking softly or loudly, do we speak too fast or too slow, and whether we have a very high-pitched voice or a low-pitched voice. And so research shows that a voice that is warm and friendly is generally of a medium range, not shrieky, because the minute we have a shrieky voice, we get the impression that the person is hysterical. Mm-hmm. If we have somebody who's speaking very loudly, they sound aggressive, and somebody who's speaking very soft sounds shy. So immediately those are indicators of personality or a mood, just by the way we're sounding. So sounding warm and friendly is about being in between all of those. Not too loud, not too soft, not too fast, not too slow, not too high, not too low.
Interesting. I recently, in a previous podcast episode, was interviewing members of the customer experience team at MultiChoice, DSTV, the big cable TV provider here in South Africa. Yes. And they were telling me that they had integrated some persona training into the training that they do with their customer-facing support staff. And that they had done some research looking into matching the pace of speech that customers use and listening to the kind of verbal cues that a customer might be giving and then responding in a particular way. So if somebody starts speaking really fast, don't respond very quickly because information will be lost, you know. Do you have any kind of rules of thumb or suggestions in terms of understanding how customers are speaking and then responding?
Yes, well, from our point of view, when we're training call center consultants specifically, we work on listening skills, and what they're listening for is the mood of the client. And then to reflect that mood, or to rather be the opposite to it. So you'd reflect a good mood. So if somebody's sounding upbeat and friendly, you're going to be upbeat and friendly with them. If they're sounding aggressive, then you have to temper your voice to calm them down. And I think we all know that if you say to somebody, please calm down, it's like a red flag to a bull. It's going to have the opposite effect. So through the voice, through going a little slower, maybe a little quieter, one can diffuse a complaint more easily. And that shows empathy. So again, through the tone of voice and allowing your voice to read the customer or to respond to what you've read from the customer, yes, you can certainly manage the situation a lot better. And then what we also look at is, so you're listening first to the customer's way of speaking, their mood, identifying that. And then we also teach that you should listen to yourself. How are you coming across? Mm-hmm. So being in control of your voice and understanding how your voice is working allows you to then change it and be appropriate to the situation.
So, I mean, it sounds like this is something that's quite important for team members who are customer-facing, whether they're customer-facing in person and they're working face-to-face, or if they're working in a contact center. For those out there who are leading and managing support teams, what kinds of tips and advice do you have in terms of helping them help their team members communicate more effectively through their voice?
Well, practical tips for team members is really about identifying how the consultants are saying what they're saying. So many training interventions revolve around a script, or saying this is what you should say and that's what you should say, and trying to marry the brand of the company with the brand that is being represented in the script. And that's very good. It's a very good starting point. But if it's not complemented by the tone of voice, then the message is going to be lost. So for team leaders, they need to learn to identify whether a person needs to work on sounding less aggressive or more friendly or kinder or showing more empathy. So it's very much a voice thing. That one needs to learn to listen for those things, identify them, and then hopefully use a specialized voice coach like ourselves to assist in alleviating those issues.
Because it's not something that I think people would just know how to do sort of without that. Yeah, it's not something that's a part of most people's schooling, how to use your voice, which is a shame because it's such an important part of communication.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't realize that your voice can be trained. It's not about changing so that you sound like a different person, but it's really about becoming aware of how you sound and what you can do to use your voice more effectively, and also to control your emotions when you're feeling that somebody's attacking you, even though they're attacking the company, how to then control your voice to sound calm, to address the problem in a meaningful way.
It's very hard to, I guess, cover up those things. If you're feeling really upset about something, it's really easy for that to come across to a customer. And to your point earlier, that can just be adding fuel to the fire.
It certainly can. And so what we train is to learn voice control. So through correct breathing and relaxation techniques, through using deeper, richer tones, you're able to take control of your voice so that you don't give away how you're really feeling. And by doing that, the benefits that we've experienced are that people in these stressful situations where they're constantly getting complained at, if they learn to use their voice in this positive way, they get a positive response, and then they feel better about themselves and their day gets better, and so they can move on to the next call without being dragged down in a downward spiral of anger and aggression.
Yeah. And when you and I have spoken about this before, one of the things that you emphasized was this deep breathing, being calm, putting yourself into a better space.
Yes.
And so it's not necessarily about disguising how you're feeling, but actually putting yourself in a different mental place and then having the voice reflect that.
Yes, correct.
I think the South African context is an interesting one. There are 11 national languages, many cultures. Since I've been here, I've definitely noticed that sometimes verbal communication can be a challenge because, you know, there's different cultural etiquette around things like tone and pace of speaking. Sometimes people don't understand each other. What do you think are some of the things that organizations can do to help South African employees and South African customers communicate with each other more effectively?
It is an enormous problem, and we have such, as you say, diverse cultures, and we have inherent prejudices and history as well around how people speak. And this often blocks interactions. So I believe that if people learn to communicate in a more neutral way, and that we focus on engaging and we focus on showing empathy and warmth in an interaction, that goes a long way to making the interaction more successful. But also, what we tend to focus on is the clarity of speech, because I think people are very quick to get irritated if they don't understand. And it's not the accent that's a problem, it's the clarity of the speech. So accents are often very interesting, and they say who we are and where we come from. Somehow French-speaking people get away with their accents because the accent is really attractive. And so we all sort of fall in love with that French way of speaking, but it's not the same with every language. And even for somebody who's, you know, comes from a completely different country, we still need to work on the clarity of speech. So I do believe that if we all focus on neutralizing our speech, learning the rhythms that are more easily acceptable in the spoken language, which is English, in the business environment, then those prejudices should be alleviated.
Okay. So you spoke about neutrality. How do you walk that line between creating neutrality but still maintaining what makes you unique and representing sort of who you are and where you come from? You spoke about clarity and but what does that mean sort of in practical terms?
So as I said, we don't want to change an accent because that would be changing who you are. One needs to be as natural but neutral as possible. And so again, it comes back to working on the clarity but allowing you still to express yourself in the way that you normally would. What I often find with people that are speaking in their second languages, there's a sense of fear that's coming through. So they're worrying, whatever their first language is, they're worried about, here I am speaking in my second language. They're thinking about grammar, they're thinking about vocabulary, and then they're thinking about how they're saying it.
Yeah.
So all those things take away a lot of the spontaneity. And what we found with our training is that we say to people, forget about that. Allow your voice to come out in a bold, clear, friendly way, neutralize certain sounds, and you'll get your message across.
Yeah.
But if that message has been masked because now you're so self-conscious that you go soft, you go shy, then the mumbling comes, it takes away that impact.
That's interesting. I think that people are a lot more forgiving than we give them credit for.
Oh, absolutely.
For example, I was an exchange student in Mexico when I was in high school, and when I arrived there, I didn't speak very much Spanish at all. And I, you know, made so many errors in language, but people were very forgiving of it. And I think that if you speak with clarity and people see that you're trying and you're being authentic and natural, if you mess up with a few words, it's definitely not the end of the world.
No, it isn't. And that's what I say. You know, if you want to throw in one of your words from your own language to make you a bit more human, it's okay, depending on the context. But also, interestingly, I've got a client who works with an American company, and so they have to do presentations to them, and they find that the Americans just don't understand our accents or anybody's accent. And so we always say, well, there again, we need to neutralize. But what does neutralize mean? I just think it really means clarity, speaking more slowly, more clearly, so that anybody can understand what you're saying. The accent remains. We're not going to all start rolling our R's so that we can communicate with a person who speaks in that manner.
Yeah.
It's not necessary. Mm. You know, we understand each other perfectly well. So that's really what it's about. And I also have a client at the moment who comes from an African background, speaks on the telephone for one of the big financial services institutions. And I can see that he is just terrified because he's unsure of his English. Hmm. Accent doesn't even come into it. He's unsure of his English, but also he's new to the job, so he's still learning the job. And so his fear is taking away his clarity. And I do believe that once he's confident in his role and that we work on how he can use his voice effectively to present himself as if he sounds confident, even if he's not entirely feeling it now, he will then eventually overcome it and he will become confident.
Switching gears slightly, as technology evolves, more and more customer experiences are moving into the digital space.
Yes.
And this means that we're having more interactions that are remote. We're doing things online. And in some cases, customer interactions, if they do happen at all with a person, might happen over the phone through a call center. If you order something online and then have a question or want to do a return or something. And so with that, we have this kind of changing interactions that consumers have with brands. What do you think is the role of the voice in all of this?
When you're shopping online and it runs smoothly, you never end up speaking to anybody. You just pay your money, place your order, and it gets delivered. So generally, people are speaking when there's a problem. And so again, your consultant is dealing with a problem, a complaint. And so showing their empathy, showing their care, and looking for the solution is what's going to make the interaction a good interaction and will reflect the positive outcome. So again, how are you doing that? You're using your voice. A call center consultant only has their voice in which to make an impact. So there are no visual cues to help them. It is how they sound and how they manage that call through the way they're saying what they're saying that's going to have a positive outcome.
Do you think it would be fair to say that in some cases the voice or verbal interactions have actually almost become the face of brand interactions in some of those cases? If that's the only interaction that I have with a human, would it be fair to say that it's the voice becomes the face of the brand?
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that. You know, just your receptionist in a company, your call centers, we're living through call centers. Everything we do, whether we're dealing with a bank or whatever, and we form an opinion of that company because of the way we're dealt with by one person on the telephone. So it's very much branding your company. And if you just listen to the way people talk, I don't even want to mention names, but you'll say, oh, I've been dealing with so-and-so bank or so-and-so telephone company or whatever, and how they've been dealt with colors their feeling towards that brand. Yeah. Very much so.
We often think of brands sort of in visual terms. So it's interesting to think about a brand experience in auditory terms or, you know, verbal terms. If I'm somebody who works at a company and I'm thinking about, right, what does an auditory brand experience look like? What kinds of things should companies think about?
Well, I think when you create a brand, you're looking at things like the logo, the image, the advertising, And, you know, if you're walking into a company, the shop fitting or the reception area, etc. So that's all creating the brand. Is it very professional? And so the people that you employ should reflect that in the way they dress. You know, that becomes part of the branding. And then definitely in the way they sound, because when they open their mouths to speak, they need to reflect that same brand. It does become an auditory thing. And what happens is that it often stops at, oh, we're all going to have a nice way of dressing, or we're going to all do this. But if you're an upbeat, exciting, young company, then you want those people to sound like that. So I don't want to phone XY company and think, wow, I'm dealing with really funky people, and then I have somebody dull and boring answering the telephone. I'm thinking, wow, have I come through to the right place?
Mm-hmm.
So it's totally integrated. You can't really separate them.
Yeah. And this is the kind of thing that I would imagine, for example, a lot of energy would go into in the case of a, you know, if a marketing team were creating an ad campaign, a radio ad campaign. Mm. You probably have a whole bunch of people sitting around a table in a boardroom talking about exactly which voice actor you wanted and what you wanted them to say and which accent and all this. And there's a lot of energy put into those kinds of things.
Yes.
But then, you know, would you put the same thought into, okay, how are we going to train our frontline staff, or how are we going to train our call center staff to represent this brand?
Yeah, to sound the part. Mm,
to sound the part.
Absolutely. And that is why we've been in business for over 25 years, because gladly people do recognize the importance of that.
Do you think that enough companies are focusing on improving verbal interactions between their team members and customers or clients? Do you think there should be more work done in this area? Mm. Do you think it's been an area of increased focus?
Definitely more work can be done in this area. Developing a voice and how you sound appears to be a soft skill, and so it is something that is left sort of the bottom of the pile to address. The perception is that there are more burning issues together with other soft skills training, and yet those are the things that really are going to enhance a company's image and help them to weather the storm. You know, this year has been a difficult year financially and economically for the country, and this is the time when people should be spending their energies on this kind of training. So it does exist, it does work. More and more people need to take cognizance of it. The advent of call centers has absolutely exploded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how many years ago, but there weren't call centers when I started. It wasn't a big thing at all. And so that is what has made the need more intense.
Interesting. Do you have any tips or suggestions just for people out there about how to utilize their voice more effectively?
Yes, I certainly do. If you can really identify how you're sounding, so assess yourself. Ask people, how do I sound? Some people sound too young for the positions they're in. I know it sounds silly, but you know, the funny thing is that we react to people. So if you've constantly been told, I didn't hear you, there's a chance you're speaking too softly, or you're going too fast, slow down. Take heed of those comments, because they can be career limiting. If people can't understand what it is you have to offer them, then you're not going to be getting your message across clearly. So try and identify what your voice sounds like, and then find out ways of how to improve that. And there are exercises that you can do, a gym class, to help you to develop a warmer, richer, clearer, more appealing voice.
Wonderful.
Hmm.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. This has been wonderful.
Good, and thank you for taking the time to include us in your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to my interview with Marianthi. For more information about this episode or to subscribe to my podcast, please visit my website, julia-allfeld.com. You can also get in touch with me via LinkedIn or follow me on Twitter. My handle is @JuliaAllfeld.